Father, we thank you again and again and again and again and again and again. We thank you, Lord. You're always a good Father to us. We pray that during this time, Holy Spirit, you'll be active. We welcome you. We know you want to do that. We partner with you and we say yes. Be active among us. Draw us closer. Speak to us. Humble us. Help us learn to be quiet in your presence. Help us learn to be quiet when you're moving and shouting and all of it, Lord, as you lead. We give you glory. We give you praise today. We honor what you did yesterday, what you've been doing in people's lives. You are active. You are powerful. You are moving. Father, we want to join that closer, more often. We want to be accurate. We want to hear you accurately. We want to follow you accurately. We want to hear your real voice, not the voice of emotion. We want to hear your real voice, not the voice of fear, but the voice of faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you again, Lord. We worship you during this time as well. It's in your name. We pray, amen. Quite a few years ago, I wrote a song. We sing it occasionally here, but it's been a while. When I am weak, then I am strong. For I run to you, Lord, all day long. When I'm overcome and I say I'm done, then I fall into your loving arms. I come into your presence, depending on your grace. Looking for your mercy, I bow before your face. You are the vine, I am the branch. Your love flows through me, God, not just by chance. You fill me up with the Holy Ghost. Now I am full to the uttermost. I come into your presence, depending on your grace, looking for your mercy. I bow before your face. For you are my fortress, my tower so strong. When I feel defeated, soon that fear is gone. I come into your presence, depending on your grace, looking for your mercy. I bow before your face. Who of us have not felt weak and thought that the way to get strong is to pull up our bootstraps, take all of our talents and our skills, and try to do it ourselves? And many of us have figured out that that doesn't work very well. My parents lived their whole life with that theory. They were very hard workers. They decided they would work their way into a better situation. Of course, they spent a lot of time working when they should have maybe been with the children, like me, that was kind of a lost son, just kind of looking for some kind of direction. And my parents were working all the time. So I learned from their hard work. And I thought, that's the key to life, work hard. So as I grew up, I started to work hard. And you can have a certain degree of success in this world if you're willing to work hard. But oftentimes, that's stolen from a person. The enemy comes in and steals even hard work, the results of hard work. People lose their businesses. People lose their families. They might work at their families and think that's the key. Well, if I wouldn't spend all my time working and I worked on my families, that's what will be the key to making everything just right and just so, and everything will be good. But we've also said here that even working on such a wonderful goal as a good family does not achieve the success of God. So when I'm weak, I'm strong. All of us have felt weak, and we develop some kind of strategy to deal with that. Many of us have tried to find ways to become strong on our own. That's the bottom line. As Christians, we still sometimes fall for that. That if I just, you know, become a better Christian, if I just follow the rules a little better, life will be good, people will respect me, and God will respect me. But you look into the Bible and you find out someone like the Apostle Paul, he was imprisoned a number of times. And he didn't stand at the door of the prison bars, and shake the bars. Let me out, let me out. Shake the bars and try to tear them down and tear the door off the jail or whatever. Oftentimes he and some companion or just he by himself prayed and wrote letters, worshiped. Does that make any sense? Wouldn't you try to get in good with the guards? You know, get some contraband to come in from some visitors and pay off the guards and maybe find a way out of the jail. Or some other kind of strategy, street strategy, in order to get out of jail. Maybe talk to the administrator of the jail and plead your case. Maybe try to get a get out of jail card and hand it to the guy in charge with the keys. Some kind of strategy that might get you out of jail, but no, this guy prays, worships, writes letters. And the doors sometimes flew open, not only for him, but other prisoners. When he was in a jail in Philippi, not only his jail cell door fell open and the chains fell off of him, it happened for every prisoner in the whole prison. And he had to help the jailer not commit suicide because he thought all the people would run off. But I think they were in total shock, all the prisoners, that their chains had fallen off as he and Silas were singing, praising God, and the chains fell off. How much sense does that make? They were afraid to move. They were in the glory. They weren't going to go anywhere unless Paul said, oh, by the way, we're going to move on to this place or go to this place or we're going to walk out of this jail. They just stayed there. So he told the jailer, don't commit suicide. We're all here, meaning Paul, Silas, and all the prisoners. Paul became the jailer just that quick. God switched jailers. Paul's had the keys, not the jailer guy. He looked at the keys. The doors had fallen open and all their chains had fallen off. What good are these keys? I need to commit suicide. The government's going to, you know, call me into court and I'm going to be the prisoner or I'm going to die. Everything switched in a moment. Paul was weak. God made him strong. So just because we say, well, I want to be weak before the Lord, doesn't make it happen. We have to say, God, I mean it. I want what you want. I want to do it your way. I want your strategies, not the strategies of the world. I want your strategies. I want to be weak in you, and you'll make me stronger than anyone. Now let's take today. What has happened to that prison? No more. Probably can't find the prisons that Paul was in. If they do, they're closed. They're not prisons any longer. What happened to the government that was over the prisons? Oh, I'm sorry. That empire has dissolved. It's no longer there. Who ended up winning in the end? Paul lost his life by having his head chopped off in one of those prisons. However, the entire Roman Empire doesn't exist anymore. The kingdom of God ended up winning. So temporarily, he was let out of jail a number of times. In the end, he lost his life for the cause of Christ. But he went on to glory. No prisons up there. And the Roman Empire is dissolved, partially because Christianity became a massive movement from a guy in jail singing worship songs, writing letters, and praying. Doesn't that sound kind of weak to establish an empire, a kingdom? The Roman Empire had soldiers, the most feared armies on earth. They extended their reign to be the biggest amount of area of land ever held by an empire. Where are they now? In dusty history books. Where is the kingdom of God now? It's within you. Partially because one guy said, "When I'm weak, I'm strong." And he was the lead dog. And you know, he got hassle back then. People saw the chains fall off of him walk out of prisons, and yet Christians in his day gave him hassle. In 2 Corinthians, the last few chapters, he talks about his authority over the other believers. And he said, "I don't want to boast, but I'm going to boast. I'm going to be a fool and boast in Christ. That my authority is great, and yet you say that I can't speak when I'm with you, and I'm afraid to correct you when I'm with you. Only in my letters am I strong, and I'm strong with my correction in my letters." "Well, we'll see when I show up," he says. Assert that authority, and "Oh, I know it's stupid to boast. It's foolish to boast. But God has given me this authority. I didn't take it myself. And he's proven this authority through me, because when I come, I speak God's words. When I come, I do God's deeds. I'm not trying to take advantage of you. I'm not trying to run you down. I'm not using my authority for your destruction," he says. "I use it for your edification, your building up. That's why I use it." So it is with those with the heart of Jesus today that are leaders. They want what's best for you. I want what's best for you. I want you to hear the message this morning about the ability to appear weak to the world, foolish, and yet you are the strongest people that live today. Believers that are sold out radical for Jesus are the strongest ones that live today. Now, we look weak because the society more and more and more is persecuting who? Muslims. No, Christians. Christians are the ones being more and more persecuted. But Paul rejoiced. Let me read for you what he said. "Of such a one I will boast." He's talking about a previous statement he made. He's talking about himself. "Yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" My grace, God says, is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you feel weak this morning, that's a good place to be. Because God's heart, the heart of Jesus, always, always, always drew near to the weak. Every person that he had a heart for was weak. Did he have a heart for the Pharisees? Certainly, but they were not open to him. They knew all the answers. "We have the laws. We are the sons of Abraham. We Listen to us. Look at our robes. Look at the way we're dressed. We're the experts in the law. We're the experts in the Bible. We're the experts in life. We know God. And Jesus said, You are whitewashed tombs with dead man's bones on the inside. You look good on the outside, but inside, you're not after God's heart. You're dead spiritually. Experts, even in the Christian world, can be dead man's bones on the inside of whitewashed tombs, because they depend on their expertise rather than the presence of God. Whenever we go on a mission trip, whenever we have something like yesterday, where we want to reach out and love people, every one of those kinds of outreaches to God's treasure, people, we should be saying, God, help us. Give us the wisdom. We shouldn't say, well, we've done this for 11 years. We know exactly what we're doing. We know how to love on people. We are experts at loving on people. In fact, when we go on a mission trip, we are experts at loving people in China, in Mozambique, in Brazil, in India, because we've done it before, and we will do it again. Love, love, love. We can get into a pattern, a rut. You want fresh love for people. You want up-to-the-minute love for people. You don't want love, stale old love. Who wants that? All the world needs is stale old love. Is that what the song says? Of course not. You don't want any moldy, oldy, stale old love. You want fresh, aromatic, romantic love. Every one of us. We don't want somebody's stale old stuff. We don't want the old cologne in the back. We want the new fresh stuff we just bought from Kohl's or somewhere else. We want to splash it on just the right amount. Not too much, not too little. And we want it to draw. We want it to woo. That's what Jesus is all about. He knows the right amount to woo, to draw, to romance you. And he wants to. He wants to. You don't have to beg him. He loves you so much that he died. His death is the most romantic thing that's ever happened to your life. It's the most romantic thing that's ever happened in my life. You know, if you hear a person of the opposite gender, you know, you're single, and they say, I would die for you. You might kind of wonder and take that with a grain of salt until they kind of prove that they can even pick up their dirty socks. Or put the cap back on the toothpaste tube before it oozes all over the vanity. They're going to die for you, but they can't even put their dirty socks away? Questionable. But Jesus proved it. He goes to the cross. He puts himself out there. Do you know that there was a time when they came after Jesus and a crowd came after him? Pharisees, the bad boys. They came after him, and they were going to throw him over a cliff. Right over a cliff. And what happened? It wasn't his time. They couldn't even lay a finger on him. He had a whole crowd of Pharisees around him with the intent of throwing him over the cliff. And it's the Bible says he just walked through them. No fear. No apprehension. They weren't able to put one little fingernail on him at that time. Why? It wasn't the way he was supposed to die. It wasn't what he was meant to do. He was going to die on a cross, not over a cliff. And so there was nothing they could do to him. That's the Jesus inside of you, if you know him. The powerful Jesus. They can also lead you away from things that might cause you a premature death. Think of that. That's powerful. Who has that in this world? The president has Secret Service around him. And we used to think, oh, he's got a detail of Secret Service. Until we found out that in certain countries, while they're off duty in the hotel, they're calling in prostitutes. Now, that gives me a different picture of some of the Secret Service. Not these upright, you know, always on duty, night and day for the president to protect him. They have a few things going on for themselves. Not quite as strong a protection as the Holy Spirit inside me, inside of you, if you know Jesus. That's much more protection. He's pure. He's not going to run off on you and forget about you and get sidetracked on some pleasure. He's going to be strong inside of you, protecting you. So you can be as weak as you can be, and he can be as strong for you as you allow him to be. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. This is all out of 2 Corinthians. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive in thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you understand everything in that passage? I don't. It doesn't matter. I can grab a hold of what I do understand through the Holy Spirit and learn the rest. You don't give up on the word just because, well, I don't quite understand what it's after there entirely. You take just a mustard seed and you are more powerful than anything in the world if you're willing to live it out. Any person in the world, you're much more powerful with just a mustard seed of this word that you apply to your life. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not something that we've devised or some strategy we've come up with or something from the flesh or our minds that have come up with some kind of a street strategy. We're mighty in God. We can pull down strongholds. When we walk into a Muslim area in Ghana or some other country, we are the head, not the tail. We carry the very Spirit of God. They might have that area entrenched in the Muslim faith. Mosques everywhere. We walk in and things start shaking. People's lives start shaking. The whole stronghold of that religion starts shaking. You know what they've done? They've made Jesus just a prophet. You say, well, you're talking against another religion. You bet I am. Any philosophy, any religion that makes Jesus just another prophet, I'm sorry, that needs to be torn down. It's a stronghold in people's minds. Do I hate people that are Muslims? No. I love them like Jesus does. I want to, more and more. But what they believe, absolutely, is heresy, is wrong. Because it makes Jesus far less than he is. Now think about it. Isaiah is a pretty strong prophet. Jeremiah, a very strong prophet. Speak out the words of God, but they're mere men with sin that needed salvation. Jesus is God, fully God. Don't tell me he's just a prophet and say, yeah, we believe in Jesus. Not the real Jesus. The real Jesus is inside of you and me as Holy Spirit, and he's more powerful than any philosophy on earth.
We cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm not so worried about the arguments in the world. I'm worried about the arguments in the head. Things that say, I'm not really good enough. How could God love me? Look at what I've done. Look at the way I've lived these so many years. But every one of us came to a revelation. If you know Jesus, you came to a revelation at some point. If it happens when you're in your teens, when you're a baby, 5, 6, 7 years old, praise God. If it happens in your 20s, 30s, praise God. It happened. You got the revelation. He was able to sustain your life until you received him. There were times in my life before I became a Christian, I should have been in deep trouble. Deep trouble. For some of the stupid things I did. And I didn't even realize them until after I came to Christ. I've all told you the story about my brother and I. When I got my driver's license, it was bad news. He was 2 years younger, and I almost killed him a couple of times. Just doing stupid stuff. On the way to dump off some trash that we had in the back of a pickup truck, going to a dump, we decided it would be fun for him to be on the front of the vehicle, not in the back of the pickup truck. So we put him on the front. It's a dirt road, and I'm doing this, and he's on the front trying to stay on the truck. And then I stepped on the brake, and he was thrown off in front of the truck, and I'm laughing so much, the truck is still going at the speed it was going at, because I let off the brake and, you know, put my foot on the gas, laughing. And he is running, stretching his legs as far as he could stretch them in front of the truck. And finally, I realize, oh, that's not a good idea. And I step on the brake. And my brother comes to the truck and goes, oh, my God. Every muscle in his leg were totally stretched from trying to stay in front of the truck. We laughed and didn't think about it again. After I became a believer, I was like, oh, my God. I could have easily run over him and killed him. Easily. But for the grace of God, I could have killed my brother. And we laughed it off as no big deal. God helped me with that. I was so weak, I didn't even know Jesus. And he took care of that. Wow. Incredible. He's that strong for us. Even before we know him, he has protected you to reach this life of knowing him. So if you feel weak now that you know him, realize that he inside of you is so powerfully strong that you can face anything. Anything. One thing to help yourself if you're wanting to be strong in him. You're weak in yourself, but you're strong in him. Be strong for others. Be strong for others. Like yesterday, so many of you were strong for someone else, reaching out in love to them, trying to show them the Jesus you know, that he's the real key to life. He's the real joy. He's the real treasure in life. We don't back off from that here. We believe it's true. We'll tell anyone, any place, Jesus is worth your life. Jesus is more powerful than anyone. And he is worthy of all of our worship. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. If you're weak, I'm weak with you. If you're made to stumble, it bothers me on the inside. That should be everyone's attitude in here. That's what builds a strong body. Not just, I'm weak. Man, I'm weak. I need God to help me be strong. Man, I'm just still weak. Oh, man, I'm still weak. God, I need God to make me strong. You know, some of us go back and forth with that. And we feel a little stronger sometimes and a little weaker sometimes in that process. But I'll tell you one thing that will help you. Be strong for someone else. Serve someone else. Love someone else. Find someone that's weak in every way. They don't even have Jesus. And be strong for them because you already have the revelation that Jesus is what they need for life, is what you need for life, and is what they need for life. You'll find that your life increases. You become strong, even though you still may feel weak. You actually become stronger. Stronger about your convictions that God is good. Stronger about believing that Jesus is the key to life. You can't be tempted away from that. Well, God doesn't really love me. Well, if you're loving on someone else and they're receiving from God, it's awfully hard to believe that yourself, that he's not good. It's hard to believe that because he's being so good to this person you are praying for or you are reaching out to help in some way. And it increases you as well. Happened to Paul all the time. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. Guess what? Jesus loved to the maximum and was crucified. Guess what? You could love to the maximum and you're going to be unloved by the very people you love. That can happen. Are you still up for it? You still want to do that? Because you'll feel very weak. I love, I love, I love. Kick in the face. I love, I love, I love. Kick in the face. Wow, maybe I shouldn't love. No, don't say that. Keep on loving. Keep on loving. I loved my sister. Kick in the face. I loved my sister. Kick in the face. I loved my sister. Kick in the face. Persecuted. Kick in the face. Made fun of. Kick in the face. Kick in the face. She came to Jesus. Yeah! For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. We're glad when we're weaker because we can help you be stronger. What if it costs you something, in other words, to love someone else? It makes you weaker. You've given out all you can give out, you know, of your energy, of your love, of your emotion, of your finances. Giving what you can give. Giving beyond what you can give. Trusting God to give through you what you don't have to someone else. And they may not appreciate it. But we're doing it by his power. Because there's no way that you can consistently love someone that doesn't love you without his power. There is no way that you can consistently forgive someone without his power if they're not receiving that. You'll give up. You'll turn away. You'll walk away. But with the power of Jesus, you can go the second mile and the third mile and the fourth mile. You can take kicks in the face. You can take people talking about you behind your back. You can take stabs in the back and still love and still care. And still want the best for them because you've become weak so they could eventually get the revelation that they need to be like Jesus. And that will help make them strong, not putting you down and trying to step on you to get higher. You know, the basic thought of selfishness is I step on you and I go higher. Wow, that was nice. I mean, I step on you and I go higher. I like going higher. But selflessness means you let them step on you so they can find Jesus. Sometimes it's a little hard to sign up for that. But when you do, you're being weak so they can be strong. They might first think, oh, I'll step on you and I'll go higher. But God's in charge of that one, isn't he? They might step on you and realize, oh, what have I done? I need Jesus. I'm following the wrong strategy in life. I just stepped on someone that tried to love me, that tried to help me. I took their time. I took their money. I took their friendship, and I just stepped on them, disregarded them. With Jesus, that happened all the time. So many people he helped were cheering for him to be crucified. Who won? He did. He became so weak. He died for them to become strong if they were willing to receive. And many did. There were 500 that saw him go into heaven, the Bible says, that were there to actually see Jesus arise and go into heaven after he resurrected. 500. Now, there were only a few, if you read the account, running to the grave to see, oh my, he's not there anymore. Crucified and then put into the grave, you know, the big stone, the whole thing. The stone is rolled away. His clothes are on the inside. What happened to him? There were only a few people like that. But news must have traveled, because when he ascended into heaven, 40 days after he arose, there were 500 people that saw that. It's not my number, it's the Bible's number. How did it go from just a few of the saints that were like, you know, I don't know what we're supposed to do. Jesus is dead on the cross. And, what are we supposed to do? And he walks into a room after he resurrects. He's just there, shows him his hands. Look, it's me. See these? Prints of the nails through my hand. And they're all like, that was kind of a small group of people. But when he went to heaven, 500. News travels. Good news travels very fast. Why? It's because people were willing to share that with someone else. Oh, by the way, the one that was crucified and he was buried, he arose. Oh, right, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, no, he showed us his hands. Even Thomas, and Thomas went, oh, get it now, okay. I'm not going to doubt anymore. How would you like your name in the Bible? And attached to it is Doubting Thomas, Doubting Thomas, Doubting Mary, Doubting Bill. Forevermore. But guess what? Thomas was weak. And why aren't we calling him, you know, Revelation Thomas? Because he got it. Yeah. When Jesus walked in and went, look, 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 look. We could have been Thomas. You know, he went from doubting to the revelation. Jesus was so kind. So kind to Thomas. Look, Thomas. Look, Thomas. He does the same for us. We need to be like a little child. So here's the goal. Be strong for God and what he's up to, realizing you have treasure. Be strong for others. Bless them. Have your life be a mark of serving others. Oh, it's certain things we like serving. Come on. When we're put on display, the amazing Bible teacher,
preacher at the front of the room. People's eyes looking at him, tuned in. No one sleeping for a change. Yeah, that can be pretty heady. You can get a lot going inside out of that. Except your message is, when you're weak, you're strong. Not when you're strong, you're strong. Not when you think you're something. I always think when I start to get a little bit of a head inflation, never had that? Head inflation. I start to get even that a little bit, I think of Nebuchadnezzar on the wall. He's walking on the wall of the city of Babylon. Look at all that I have built. This entire wall is one of the seven wonders of the world. Well, it wasn't at that point. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were determined to be one of the seven wonders of the world after Nebuchadnezzar. But he was out there looking, and look at what I built. Look at what I, look at these gardens. Look at this wall. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's about me. Me, 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 me. And then he ate grass for 7 years. Ate grass in the yard with the goats. I guess they eat grass, right? Sometimes. 7 years. And then graciously, God gave him his mind back, and he praised God after that. You know what? I don't want to do the seven-year thing. I just want to praise God and not get the, you know, head inflation and then have to go through the eating of grass for 7 years. And then at the end of it, you're going to praise God anyway. You might as well do it before you eat the grass. That's my plan. That's my desire. So here's the goal. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And then Ghana has this one down. At the end of services with the ministry that we're with, they always say this. Shall we share the grace? That's what they say. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Become complete. How do you become complete? Admit to God, I'm weak. I am weak. However, you in me, you through me, you working in my life can accomplish anything for your kingdom. Think of Paul. Why wouldn't he say to himself, man, I really screwed up. God had to knock me off my horse on the road to Damascus with a bright light. I was such a screw-up. I was persecuting the very thing I should have been following. He had to strike me blind. He had to have a guy come and pray for me just so that I'd get rid of my blindness. And that guy said, you would suffer, and I deserve to suffer. But he also gave him a call. In that weakness, in that what could have been the mark of his life, man, regret. I was so stupid. I was so stupid. I was so stupid. In that regret, he had to take the grace of Jesus, not just to forgive the sin that he was fighting against God. Why do you fight against the goads? Why do you kick against the goads? Why do you, I'm trying to, you know, give you a little nudge in the back to go my way, and you're kicking me, is what God was saying. I'm trying to give you a little push in the back to let you know you're on the wrong course, and you just kick back at me. Why do you do that? Paul goes, I don't know now. Because I've just had the revelation of Jesus Christ. That was really dumb. He could have stayed that way the rest of his life.
I've done too many dumb things to serve God. He didn't do it. He went the opposite way. The grace of God is with me. The grace of God is for me. The grace of God covers me. The mercy of God takes care of me. See, the enemy will come to you like Frank was saying, and he'll say, no, 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 Frank, no, Bill. It's not working. You're not good enough. You've done too many things against me. God doesn't really mean it. Those people don't mean it. No one loves you. No one cares for you. You've done too many things wrong against God. He doesn't accept you. But it's just the exact opposite. When Paul received the grace of God, he took it everywhere. It changed the course of the history. He's in prison. He is weak. And he was so strong, the prison doors just fly open. And the jailer is asking for his help. That can happen with us in so many situations in life. What you think, the things you think are holding you back, just call it your weakness. Because God works when there's weakness, when there's things that are holding you back. Dreams that haven't been fulfilled, just call it your weakness. Ask God to come in with his strength. But not just for you, for what you're going to do for people. Don't just ask him for a house that you've been wanting. Ask him for a house that you've been wanting so you can bless people. Not just a car that you've been wanting. A different car, a different job. What does it matter? Any of these things. Ask so he'll show you how to use it to bless other people that are in weakness. In some cases, they need a ride. They need a place of hospitality. They need a place of teaching. You need a job to take care of your temporal needs so that you can bless the nations. Don't make the object of your request, just the request. I need a job. I need a better job. Please get me a job. God, thank you, God. I always would say, when I was looking for jobs, God, if this is not the job that I should have, that so that I could bless what you're doing through me to others, I don't want it. Show me the job you want me to have that will fit with what I'm doing to bless others. And you know what? He was faithful. He did it so many times, uniquely. I had jobs I just looked like it was perfect to walk right into. Everything was set up. I remember a teaching job I went for one time. They wanted a male teacher who had sixth grade experience and was a Christian. I had those things. And I said, God, if it's not the job for me, I don't want it. He said, you don't want it. They hired a woman who wasn't a Christian, who had no sixth grade experience. That's clear. And I said, praise God. Thank you, God. I know that one's not for me. But you don't have a job right now, but I've got God. You're weak right now. That's right, but I'm strong because I know that's not the job for me. Kingdom's different, isn't it? You can take risks you would never take. I was telling someone this week, I walked out of General Motors Fisher Body, low person on the totem pole, to go nowhere on a prayer request. I had no job to go to. I made the prayer request. God didn't make me walk out of there. I said, God, you know, if you will change me to second shift by a certain time in August, then I will quit my job and trust you for a teaching job, because I wanted to go from the factory into teaching. So God decided to be real funny about it. He did it 2 weeks early. And the person that was mentoring me at the time, he said, yeah, I heard about that. Let's take a walk around the block. And I thought, oh, good. He's going to say, this is the stupidest idea you ever had. to make a prayer request where you say you would quit a job that you have where you're low guy, you can go nowhere but up. And you are getting paid well with the best insurance in the world. And you're going to just give that up for a prayer request. I thought he's going to say, that's not very wise. That's like a fleece. What are you doing? So we took a walk around the block. I told him what I had done. Yep, I did this prayer request. I was at this conference, and I kind of got excited, and I wrote this prayer request down. If God would change me to second shift within a certain time in August, then I would quit, and I would trust him for a teaching job. I have no teaching job. I don't even know of a teaching job. I've been out of the whole teaching game for 3.5 years. I wouldn't know where to start. I just thought he'd say, well, you know, that was kind of a dumb request. Why don't you start over? And I'd be released. But instead, he said, God has kept his part. What are you going to do? I thought, Roger, when you could have helped me, you just made me very weak. Because I don't like this kind of thing of walking out on water. My own stupidity put me out there with this dumb request. I got a little excited at a conference. God won't hold that against me if I just say, oh, I didn't mean it. And I thought Roger was my, you know, final card to play. And he agreed with God. What kind of mentor is he? Supposed to help me out. And so I quit. I walked. I didn't know how to quit. 2,700 employees in this huge place in Michigan. And I walk in, how do you quit? What office? Because I was always on the floor. The offices just seemed like gleaming, you know, white collar workers up there. I don't associate with them very often. So I find the office I'm supposed to go to, and I go up to the desk, and so they said I needed to bring my tools to turn in. That's right. So I put those on the counter, and am I supposed to sign something to quit? Yeah, if you'd sign right here. Okay. And the guy goes, oh, so what are you going on to? You know, what's next for you? You know, you got a big, you know, job coming because you're quitting General Motors. A prayer request? That's what I have. Okay, yeah, here, I'll take that form. You didn't want to talk to me after that. I didn't want to talk to me after that. I went out into the parking lot and I said, God, it's you and me. That's what he'd always wanted to hear from me. It's you and me, God. So like a fool, I start looking for any job. I had any job. I was supposed to have a teaching job. That was what the request said. So I went against the request after I quit and started looking for any job. Graciously, someone said to me, I thought this was about getting a teaching job. But see, that was my fear, that I wouldn't get one. Okay, so I went to the university, looked at this board of supposed teaching jobs, and I didn't have any of the qualifications. And I was not one to go hit the bricks and show myself in front of the principal going, I'm the greatest teacher you've ever seen. If you just read my resume and my credentials, you would see that I'm the best teacher on earth. That just wasn't me. So I saw this position on the board. I didn't have any of the qualifications. And I called, and the person said, come out and fill out an application. The principal called me that night after reading the application on a stack this high and called me in for an interview and hired me the next day. And it was in English. And the social studies teacher, which was really my area, quit within a week. I taught English 2 days, and I was in the position for my background within a week and teaching in that area. And I'm thinking, God, I was so weak, and you were so strong for me. That's continued in my life. I want that to be your testimony in areas of your life. That when you're so weak, you don't know up from down, your prayer request seems so silly, it seems so ridiculous that you would even say such a thing to God, He's right there to back you up. He's right there to even give you the nudge with the goad. Don't kick against it. Follow it. Follow Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord. We just declare to you, we're weak and you're strong. We've given a message on this before here. But God, this is right from the passage, right from the horse's mouth. Paul speaking through the Holy Spirit. He showed such weakness and you opened up jail cells for him. Do the same for us. Do the same for us. You are worth the risk to be weak and let you be strong in us. You're worth the risk to be strong for others who are weak and give them the knowledge we have of Jesus. Give them the seed that we have of knowing the Word, that they have something in their weakness to have hope in. Father, use us beyond what we're being used for. Help us to be used so much we feel weak. God, if we're not feeling weak because we're so exhausted being used for your name, Lord, show us what that looks like, what that feels like, to serve and love and care until we're even persecuted for it, until we're disregarded for loving so much. Father, and then help us press through in our weakness. We bless you that your whole plan is to make us strong through your power, through your Holy Spirit, through your Word. Yes, God, we believe you today. We trust you today. We receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.